Lord bless you and give you a blessed Thanksgiving season. Yesterday we had such a nice time of fellowship with believers that came from different congregations, and we were blessed with the testimonies. We were so blessed to hear that elderly lady that was a nun for 40 years, and she says, "I can't believe I spent 40 years locked in a convent. Now, by the grace of God, I'm here." We're blessed with those testimonies and the blessings of the Lord in people's life. We've also been blessed with the purpose of the Thanksgiving offering of sharing with those in need, both in Haiti and also Indonesia, and also with the children that are in the shelter in our neighborhood here. And we praise the Lord. Yesterday, the offering was $818, and we'll be able to help two ministries who are doing the relief work, both in Haiti, Indonesia, and also the children at the Fall River Family Center. We have many things to be thankful to the Lord for. Now, I was planning to finish the book of Jude today. I was just planning. I know a preacher that cannot preach simple and short and sweet. So as I was going through the points in your bulletin, and we have 6 points, I came to the conclusion I should be preaching one Sunday in each one of those points. So today you're going to put up with me. I'm going to put 6 sermons in one sermon, okay? And I won't be able to finish today the book of Jude. You got to come next week, okay? So, we're turning to the book of Jude, right down the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament, just before Revelation. And following your outline, we're talking about apostasy and the fact that we are in the last days. What is apostasy? Apostasy is the fact of people who have been exposed to the truth. They profess to know the truth. They actually may even be baptized and join a local church, but they were never born again. They were never washed of their sins in the blood of the Lamb. They professed, but they later in life end up denying the very faith they professed because they were never born again. So Jude has been warning us about the apostates in the midst of the church of God, the danger that they represent and their false teachings. So Jude has been talking about this all along. And if you with us since the beginning, it comes to a point where you say, "I'm getting discouraged." Because, Tony, you're saying that even in the midst of the church of Christ, there is false believers. There are fakes. Yeah. Do you remember Judah? One of the 12? Do you remember that Jesus told us parables that explain this, the tares in the midst of the wheat, until the end of the age? So, the Bible tells us, and that called us already to discernment. And we could get discouraged as we look around and we see so much of the apostates taking leadership in the church of God and damaging the name of God. So after all these negative stuff about these guys, you know what? We need to focus in the truth. We need to balance here a little bit. And now Jude is going to end up this letter. Come next week, you're going to see, with a word of encouragement to the believers and to teach us how to live and not be trapped by those in these last days. That's a lot of encouragement coming your way, my brother, my sister. We studied 2 Peter before we came to Jude, and they go together, all right? And actually, most of the themes of Peter run into Jude. We've seen that. And now Jude is going to end his letter with the same conclusion that Peter gave to his second letter, where he also talked about the apostates. And if you remember, on 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, when he ends his letter, Peter says, But you grow in grace and also in the knowledge of Jesus Christ your Lord. And that's how Jude is going to end his epistle. He's going to tell us today, but you, believer, you need to grow in grace. And next week, we're going to study verse 24 and 25 where Jude says, and you, believer, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Savior. The first part we're going to consider today, grow in grace. In order to stand in these last days where there are fakes and false gospels and false prophets and false everything everywhere, you need to grow in grace. And we'll start with verse 20 through verse 23, our reading. Let's start verse 20.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh.
So, grow in grace. Grow in grace. But Jude starts saying, and keep yourselves. Well, Tony, hold on. I thought that salvation is of the Lord, and He is the one who keeps us. You're right. Just read verse 24. He is the one who is powerful to keep us. So, what is He telling us about that? He saved us, and now I'm the one who keep myself saved? That is salvation by works, not by grace. It's not what He's teaching here, my friend. And don't make any mistake. So, what is He talking about? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, please. Verse 12 and 13. Philippians, letter Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure.
First it says, you work out your salvation. But on verse 13 says, because God is the one who works. So, Paul is saying the same thing as Jude is saying. Work out in your life what God has already worked in your heart. Simple as that. If the tree is good, out will come the fruit of the tree. But the tree cannot bear good fruit if it's not linked to the soil that is Jesus Christ. Paul is saying the same thing. Now you work out what God has already, first of all, worked inside of you. And if you are a believer, it ought to show. Work out what God has already worked in your heart. So we are saved from the penalty of sin, but we are still in a sinful body. And as the Spirit of the Lord sheds light in our lives, and we repent and confess and surrender, we say we are being saved. Not in terms of eternal salvation, but we are being saved today from the power of sin in our life. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved through Jesus' life in us from the power of sin. And in the future, we'll be saved from the presence of sin forever. Amen. Jude gives us several commands, six commands, and I divided them in three major groups. Those commands only apply to Christians because only the one who has Christ living in can obey. You cannot do that if you're dead in your sins. Only the living Christ in you can give you the strength to obey. See, the Christian life is impossible to live because it can only be lived if Christ lives in you. It's an impossibility. Isaiah 26 has a beautiful verse. It says, He has given us peace, and He has done in us and through us all His works. And even when you do something right, don't pat yourself on the back. Isaiah says, In us and through us, He has done His works. Glory goes to Him and Him alone. So, the first attitude on how to live in these times of apostasy and stay focused, the first attitude is looking inside, looking in. First of all, he says in verse 20, building yourselves in your most holy faith. Well, on verse 3, he explained to us that he wants us to fight for the faith once given to the saints. And we explained that the faith that he talks about are all the facts that relate to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is based only on this solid rock, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And there we build. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, be careful how you build. I think you remember when we studied 2 Peter. Let me just refresh your memory. Peter talks about the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 2. Sometimes listening with a little different, some different words makes a little more sense to you. I'm sorry, not 2 Peter, but 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5.
But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So, as you look in, do you see these things being built in your Christian life? Do you see the things that Peter just talked about found in your life? Then he says you are to make the effort because Christ in you has given you the power to pursue these things. Secondly, as you keep looking in, you pray. You pray. What is the hardest thing for you to do in your Christian life? Anybody? Can I take a guess? Prayer. It says you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? It means in the power and guidance of the Spirit. We have a beautiful passage on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. And he goes on to say, and nobody knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God in us has revealed to us the mind of God so that when we pray, we can pray in His will. So you start learning that to pray in the Holy Spirit is not to pray things that are in your mind, but it's to pray the things that are in the mind of God. It's to ask Him to reveal to you the things that He has in His mind to your heart. He's the Spirit that reveals the mind of the Father to us, so that when we pray like the Lord taught us to pray, we say, Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, your prayers are about the glory to His name, are about His kingdom, and are about His will, not yours, about His will. But when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we come before Him seeking to find out what are His plans for His kingdom and how can I fit as a piece of that puzzle, and how am I to direct my life, my thoughts, my energy to promote His will, His kingdom, and His glory. That's to pray in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, as you keep looking in, He says, and keep yourselves in the love of God, which means keep yourself in the sphere, in the circle of God's love. Let me give you an example. I love word pictures, and Jude loves them too. Remember? He says, those apostates are like wild waves of the sea, trees that be not uprooted, wandering stars. I mean, word pictures are amazing. You can actually visualize. Let me give you a word picture of what it means to be kept inside the sphere of God's love. Right above me, there's a spotlight. And I'll tell you, if it wouldn't be for the fans, I would have that spotlight. Because when we turn the fans, the spotlight comes on. And I would like to have that separate. Because of my illness, my sight is worse and worse by the day. So it truly helps me to read. It truly helps me to stay focused instead of blinking my eyes trying to see where am I here in the sermon when I have that spotlight on. If I'm under that spotlight, I can see better. And that's what it means to be under the sphere or the circle of God's love. It's there, that's the place of light and blessing. You want to be blessed? You stay in the light. You walk into darkness. You are stepping outside the light of God's love. And He has not promised to bless you there. God does not bless His obedient children. God does not bless children of His walking into the darkness and stepping out into the dark side. So Jude says, make sure, examine your life as you look in, that your life is lived under that sphere of God's light and love where He blesses. In other words, turning this into practical exhortation, it means that the place of God's blessing is the place of obedience. That's what it means. Just one verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Three pages back, chapter 2, verse 5.
But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him.
What is to keep his word? It's simply obey. As we obey him, we are in the center of God's love. We are in the sphere of His light and love. And John goes on later further to tell us, and there is no stumbling. There's no stumbling when you stay in the sphere of His light and love. Now, after looking in, Jude says, please look up, keeping looking up. Verse 21. Second part, waiting the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Jude is saying, as you walk through the valley of darkness and confusion and chaos and apostasy, you need to keep your eyes in the main thing. And the main thing is your Savior, the Lord Jesus. You got to leave every day looking up, awaiting, looking up. Somebody said that the Apostle Paul had 2 days in his calendar. Today and that day. When Paul writes, for instance, to 2 Timothy, and he talks about ending the race, fighting the good fight, And he says, now, the crown of righteousness is waiting for me, not only for me, but for all those who wait for that day. That day! And he was in jail, and he was killed in jail, and he was tortured. But no one could deviate him from the purpose of God, because he always had his eyes on that day when I meet my Savior. And final mercy will I receive in the entrance into his kingdom. When I'll see him face to face, I'll be able then to understand what truly grace and mercy is. That day. It's so easy to get trapped in the plans for tomorrow and the plans for next year. Forget all about the day that you'll stand before your judge and Savior. Keep looking up. That will help you to stabilize your Christian life. Not just looking in, not just I need to keep on looking up to that day, but he says, while I'm here, I need to look around. And Jude brings us to balance. He says not only we have to confront the apostates and the false Christs and false teachers, not only we have to identify them, but Jude says we ought to evangelize them. They lost! Don't ever forget that. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we learn that with the Lord Jesus. Not only Jesus confronted the Pharisees, the religious leaders, not only Jesus condemned them in public, but when one of them invited Jesus for a supper, he'd show up to do what? To call them to repent. And you remember one of them called Nicodemus? He repented. He repented. So we need to have this balance that as we minister, moreover when we confront false teachers, we are not just to show that they're wrong, but we are to point to them the right way, the Lord Jesus Christ. They need Jesus. So Jude is going to identify two groups of people in the church of God who are unbelievers, who have been exposed to the truth, they are apostates, or they've been exposed to apostasy and they are confused. And Jude says, they are a menace, but we have exposed them. But remember, they also are a missionary field. They are a mission field. Let's preach them the gospel. First of all, what are we to do as we look around? It says, verse number 22, have mercy on those, the doubters. They are confused with false teaching from these apostates. They are neither hot nor cold. They're just totally confused. We are to have mercy on them and preach them the gospel. Have mercy on them. Why? Because you and me have received the mercy. We have received the mercy. Let us think about these folks and share the gospel with them. They are confused. They have been listening to all these false teachers. They are totally confused. Have mercy on them and show them the Savior. These are the doubters. Secondly, there's a second group, verse 23. And he says, save them. Those who are sincerely wrong and have been deceived and are deceived. Those who hold to the error as if it was the truth. Save them. Have mercy on them. He says again the same thing. These are not the guys who are neither cold nor hot. These are hot. Okay? These are totally deceived. These are the true apostates. They're real hot, preaching error, thinking they're preaching truth. Give them the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy on them. They're not just hot, but they're really too hot. Their feet are already in hell. So Jude says, pluck them from the fire. And this is a beautiful picture taken from the book of Amos and the book of Zechariah. plucking that branch that is burning out of the fire. Have mercy. Sometimes we don't have patience with them. We say they have heard the truth. They know the truth. How can they be so damning in not understanding the truth? But many times I stop and start thinking, how dummy was I before I came to know the truth? I believed in confessing to priests. I believed in purgatories. I believed in prayers for the dead. I carried images on my back. Some people still have bad backs because of doing that. And I believed in all that nonsense, thinking I was doing, pleasing God. So God says, have mercy. Pray that the Lord have mercy and open their eyes. Because you and me also have received mercy. But Jude tells us that with this specific second group, the very deceived apostates, we are to be very careful. And he says, you are to wear gloves, take precautions. When you deal with error, you better be ready. He says, with fear and trembling as you approach these individuals. And why is that? It's because if you're not under God's guidance control, you may be dragged into the same error that you're trying to prevent. As I was preparing this message, two individuals came to my mind. One of them, famous preacher in the United States that used to promote crusades against pornography for many years. And a few years ago, he had to step down because he himself was trapped in pornography. The very thing that he was opposing ended up fascinating him. That's what Jude says, with a lot of fear. A lot of fear of the Lord, with all the precautions taken care of, so you won't be trapped. Another person came to my mind, this young teenager, many years ago. It was about this time of the year, Halloween, and the youth leader came and talked to me, and he said, not in this fellowship, another fellowship, and he told me, I'm very troubled with this young man, and I asked him, why are you troubled with this young man? And he said, because he came here, and he talked about everything that Halloween stands for, that we all know, the witches and all this junk of the darkness. And at the end of the meeting, I had people there that I wanted to share the gospel with and build up, and I wasn't able to do anything. This kid took over, and he just gave us half hour of trash of what the Druids did and everything else. Not long after that, his parents approached me with a concern. And all the concerns of the parents had to do with the occult and his kid being involved in the occult. The very thing that he came to denounce was the very thing that ended up fascinating him. Jude says you better have gloves when you deal with people who are trapped in error, so you will not be contaminated with the very thing you're trying to prevent. And he now adds up something that is another word picture. He loves word pictures, and I have to give you this one. Not a nice word picture, though. And he says, and you be even afraid of touching the garments contaminated by the flesh. What does he mean by this? Literally, the word garment here means underwear. What he's saying is this, do you handle soiled underwear without any precautions? You don't. And that's what sin, ugly sin, represents in the eyes of God, soiled underwear. And when you're dealing with someone trapped in sin, pornography, false doctrine, whatever, you be careful. Make sure you stay in that circle of light. Because Jude says you are to be as careful as if you are handling dirty and the way. You be careful. And if you're going to take care of your neighbor's eye problem, Jesus says, make sure you don't have a beam in front of yours. It's serious business. It's very prayerful, and you be very careful. So like many others, you won't be trapped and fascinated by the same error that you're trying to correct or prevent. Jesus tells us to have discernment. He says, you be simple as the doves, but careful and wise as the serpents. So, Jude says that the church leadership has to confront the apostates, expose their error, and call them to repentance. If the error is not exposed, then what, my brother, my sister? Then the church becomes exposed to the error. And church leaders are called to be people who have discernment, know right from wrong, to expose that so that the church won't be exposed. Because sin, error, like Jude says, is like dirty laundry. You got to be careful with that stuff. Or you end up contaminating lots of people. And this is what happened in a famous church in the book of Revelation. Let's read together chapter 3. The church of Sardis. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1.
And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
There is a little number that did not defile their garments. What he's talking about? The same thing that Jude is talking about. False doctrine came to the church. False doctrine very soon it closed down the doors of those church. There was only a very small number of people that were not touched by the stains and the dirt of false doctrine and false teaching in that church. And that church very soon would be out of business. That's the work of the apostates. Their dirt, their error will contaminate very fast the whole congregation unless the leadership does like Jude says, stands up, exposes, and calls them to repentance. My friends, look inside and see how's your walk with God. Look up! Think about the mercy I have for you and what awaits you in His presence. Thirdly, look around. Don't waste your time. Have mercy. Preach them the truth.